You know, Jim Burke is coming up on 3 years. Well, I guess maybe it's more like 2.5 years as CEO of Vistra Energy. You know them. They're the parent of TXU. And it's been a remarkable period. In fact, last year, I think that stock tripled. It has been phenomenal. And it's the demand for electricity and generating electricity. And it seems to be all coming from data centers and artificial intelligence. But it's a good time to be Jim Burke, CEO of Vistra. At least I think it is. Good to have you with us.
David, good to be with you. Nice to speak with you again.
This has been a remarkable run. I mean, this is, with all due respect, this is a very boring subject, and it's not anymore. Everybody's talking about it.
No, it's not. In fact, this is a topic at all gatherings. It did not used to be, but it certainly has captured a lot of attention with the public.
Well, I mean, we all use, I mean, everybody buys electricity, and everybody probably grew up using Texas Utilities or TXU. But now it's this, what appears to be this insatiable demand with all the data centers, artificial intelligence, and Texas sort of seems to be the epicenter of this.
Yeah, it is, David. In reality, some of that is just starting. I mean, Texas has been growing for the past 20 years, which is unlike most parts of the country. So Texas is actually used to growth. Other parts of the country, they're actually having even a bigger awakening than even Texas. But Texas is going to continue its growth, and I think it's going to accelerate from levels that we've actually already experienced.
Well, like I said, we all know, you know, from Texas Utilities, the old roots. But you're a major factor in California. In fact, I remember fascinating conversation a few years ago. You're building some of the first battery backup storage units that I'd ever heard of in California. I guess you're building them here now.
Yeah, we... Solar and battery have been very popular across the country in the last 3 to 5 years. You know, wind had a very big head start. You know, about 15 years ago, you started to see Texas establish itself as a leader. Texas is now the solar leader for the country as well. And batteries are being used in a shorter duration time frame to try to bridge some of the hours where the wind and the sun are not producing power. And Texas is fortunate to have great natural resources, but also I think Texas recognizes it needs to continue to grow the dispatchable or baseload resources to meet the 24/7 demand that these data centers and other industrial load is going to continue to bring to the grid.
But it sounds like all of this electricity can be consumed here. I mean, you can't like be an exporter.
It is hard. You know, Texas is, while it's largely its own grid, it's also the 10th largest power market in the world as a state. We're 10% of the U.S. electric grid as a state. So, you know, Texas is actually an exporter, I would say, of finished goods all over the world. And that's because we have abundant and affordable electricity here in Texas. And I think that pattern is going to continue to play itself out as we look at what the sort of future economic opportunities are for Texas.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the demand for electricity, but whether it's data centers or just the in-migration and the growth, you know, especially down here in Texas, and you're dominant in California too. But, you know, for the data centers, the artificial intelligence, in fact, I was amazed the other day, last month you came out with earnings, and the earnings were just phenomenal. I mean, were they triple or something, what they'd been the year prior? And your expectations. I mean, the guidance that you gave was good, but the stock sold off, and I think it was because they were worried about not you, but the demand and the data centers, that maybe they've gotten out over their skis on that.
Yeah, look, this is, the markets are always trying to, you know, reflect a sentiment, right? And they want to be, investors want to be ahead of the curve. And I think part of what folks are grappling with is, just how quickly will the demand growth come? I don't think there's much debate about the demand growth. I think it's the pacing of it. And you've seen that the largest technology companies, you know, in the U.S., which are among the largest, obviously, in the world, they've announced over $300 billion they expect to spend annually just in the data center space. Wow. Those are levels that this country has not seen before. Now, folks don't know where it's going to go. How much is going to go to Texas? How much might go to the Midwest? How much may go to places like Virginia and Arizona, which have established themselves along with Dallas-Fort Worth as major data center hubs? So I think, David, markets, you know, they never get it perfectly right. They tend to overshoot and undershoot. And I think our our equity performance is actually reflecting that. But the trend line that you've established, we feel really good about. The trend is steady, persistent growth for our category, and I think our company is well positioned to serve that load.
But you can't wait for the demand to show up and then try to scramble and fill it, because it takes a while. I guess, Comanche Beak is maxed out. The last time we spoke, I think that's almost 2 years ago probably, you were getting, you know, more into these smaller nuclear plants.
Yep.
I've read that they need to reopen every shuttered gas plant and every windmill needs to run, and it may still not be enough electricity.
Yeah, David, it's a great point. You know, one thing I might share that you might find interesting is, you know, the electric grid is built for peak hours, right? So the hottest days of the year or the coldest times during the winter, most of the year, there's a lot of excess capacity on the electric grid. So for instance, our gas plants, our natural gas-fired gas plants, run on average about 55% of the time. So we actually have a lot of excess capacity with existing assets to handle the 24/7 data center load that's coming to Texas. And one thing that's unique about data centers is they tend to bring their own backup generation. That is not common for customers to have one-for-one backup available. So what we intend to do and what the state is planning to do is in those really critical hours in the summer and the winter, these large data centers could actually utilize their backup and make sure that residential customers have sufficient power.
Wait a minute, can provide for the residentials?
They can provide for themselves, David, in those peak hours. And then whatever generation that was serving the data center can now make sure it goes first to residential customers. That is a unique opportunity that Texas has to utilize really underutilized capacity, including our generation fleet, but also others in the state. And that's why I think the state is really well positioned to benefit from this load growth.
And the data center business, is it really just beginning? I mean, like I say, you've heard these fears that, you know, like everybody and their aunt is going to go build a data center. And we know supply and demand, and they always seem to overbuild.
That's right.
We're not close to that.
Yeah. No, look, I think the data center growth is actually solid right now, even without AI. You still see the cloud adoption occurring. You see companies moving to the cloud from their own data centers and using some of the major technology companies that are referred to often as hyperscalers as an efficient way to modernize their own operation. The generative AI is yet another level, David. So I think what you're going to see is steady data center growth, which could probably double the data centers in Texas in the next 5 years. Generative AI may triple the number of data centers in the next 5 years. It's that last piece, David, that I think folks are trying to figure out the pacing of. But I think there's going to be data center growth regardless because of the basic needs companies and consumers have. And then this generative AI piece is really what's capturing everyone's attention in the last 12 months.
Well, you know, lost in all this is sort of the old line business, the retail business. How is the and I still see the TXU guy, you know, during the during the news broadcast selling. Is that still a good business?
It's a great business. You know, the one thing about electricity is it's a very popular and it's a necessary product, David, and people are electrifying more things. So one of the beauties of, I think, the business model that we have is we generate power for our customers, and then we help them by selling them the plans and the services that they need. So we're in both sides of the business model that I think makes a very predictable business for us, but also one that customers can count on, that if we give them a one-year product, a five-year product, for some of our large commercial and industrial customers, we're giving them 10 years of price commitment so that we can back that up with our own generation, which I think is a unique proposition that our company has. And we're doing this, David, in 18 states. And we've grown from California to Maine. And we have obviously our headquarters here in Texas, which is our most critical marketplace. But we have expanded considerably, mainly through acquisitions and then standardizing our business practices across our whole company. And it's a good time, I think, to to be in the business, but I would not say it's for the faint of heart. There's still a lot happening with policy, you know, at the federal and the state level. Yeah. And certainly technology innovation, when you're a company like ours, we have to make investments without a guarantee of a rate of return. So we have to do things that we think have the prospect of being a good business decision, but not a guarantee. And that's what makes it interesting.
Well, and for the retail business, and I guess for the corporate business too, you got a lot of competitors. This is a deregulated state. I can go on Power to Choose and I can see you, and also a bunch of people I've never heard of in my life that I guess are just resellers of maybe electricity that you generate that are out there competing.
Yeah, that's correct, David. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of innovative companies out there. Competition keeps, I think, everybody sharper, right? I think that's the nature of innovation and making sure that you have a product that and a service that customers find appealing. And the TXU Energy name is certainly our flagship, and it's been around, you know, for more than two decades. But that brand and the promise behind it, we sell in a very consistent way across the country, not with the TXU name, David. I will tell you the TXU name is not as well recognized like in the Northeast.
Right.
But we have similar people and systems and product offerings that we can bring. And I think this category is going to continue to gain in its importance to the overall economy.
Well, how many other states are deregulated like Texas is?
So about half the country's power production is deregulated, David, and about 40% of the states allow electric choice. So if you look at it on an output standpoint, the power plants that serve the grid, it's about half of the country. If you look at it on the number of premises that could make a choice based on states that are actually in competition, it's about 40%.
Wow. Well, lots of, you know, I was looking through the names. You got Dynegy, Homefield Energy, Ambit.
That's correct.
What is Cirrus Energy, Energy Harbor? A lot of different, a lot of marketing.
It's a lot. It's like any other retail category. You go into the grocery store or you shop online and you see a lot of different brands from some of the major companies. You should view us in a similar fashion. We need to have brands that resonate with the local customers, because in the mind of the consumer, power is still a very local a local product, and it's what they grew up with. And so that's why you see the variety of the names, but it's the consistency, I think, of the business model that I think sets us apart.
Well, like I said, I think it's a good time to be you, but it's also really a fascinating business watching this evolve, and it's evolving so rapidly. And you guys are right sort of in the epicenter of this.
I would say, you say it's a good time to be us. I would say it's definitely an exciting time to be us. It's not always, like I said, for the faint of heart, but what our people love, and I think it's a part of our name itself. Most don't know that Vistra came from two words, vision and tradition, David, and tradition came from the TXU side. It came from over 100 years of serving the local community here. But the vision that we were trying to express is we need to change as a company because the consumer needs are changing, the technology's changing, and we've got to change with it. And that's what gets our people excited every day.
Look, as long as you can triple your stock every year, stock price every year, I think you know, you'll have a very long tenure.
I make no assurances of that. Yeah, thank you, David.
Jim Burke is the CEO of Vistra Corporation. Always enjoy the chats. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, David. Thanks. Great to be with you.
For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.